Beautiful day outside. I want to remind you that the baby bottles on the back in the box there, you're going to bring those back in 2 weeks. So make sure you take one and fill it up with your loose change. That goes to Crisis Pregnancy Center. And I'd like to see the whole box full. So if you have to take five of those and fill them up, there shouldn't be an empty bottle. Yeah, doesn't have to just be change. It goes to a good cause to stop abortion. So let's stand up, we'll read our passage, we'll pray, and we'll go to the Word of God here. We're in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. We're going to close out the chapter. And the Word says, He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And Father, I pray that from my mouth, Lord, would come your words, Lord, that would edify us, that would challenge us, Father, that would be words of reproof or correction if we're not doing the things we're supposed to do. Father, I pray and thank you for your word that is mighty, that is powerful, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, that it does go out and accomplish its purpose. Father, thank you for it. Thank you that we could gather today around your word, your very word, Lord, as if you were sitting here talking to us, standing here talking to us this morning. Father, may your Holy Spirit have his way in our lives as he leads us into the truth of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we've been studying in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus' words to his disciples. And as he has been referring to the harvest of souls, going into the harvest, and then sending out his disciples, or what we see here even called apostles, into that harvest. And Jesus, as he commissions them to go into the region of Judea and to preach about him in the cities that were around that region, where he was going to go eventually and visit those very cities he sent his disciples to, the things he said to his 12 disciples also have a broader application to you and me. Okay, and we've been going through, as we went through this chapter, we've also seen in the Word that we are his ambassadors. I mean, know that you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ if you're a born-again believer. And we have a ministry. If you want to pop over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me real quick, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are given a ministry. I know a lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian now. What can I be doing in the church body? Where do I fit? What's my job? And it's amazing to me that people always look for something that men wants to give them something to do when the Bible says, I've given you a ministry, now go do it. We always want something that's, I don't know, something that isn't so threatening, maybe, I don't know, so. But this is a big challenge, is what the ministry he's given us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to jump down to verse 18, the word says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. There's your ministry, and everyone here has that ministry. So don't look for another ministry to do in the church if you're not doing the one he's already given you. Ministry of reconciliation means you got to go out and preach the gospel. You got to go tell people the good news. You got to proclaim to them the word of God. And so it says here, that is that God in Christ is reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Go out and tell people that God wants to reconcile them to him through Jesus Christ. So that's your ministry. And that ministry is given to all of us, and we are like His disciples, His sent ones, who are to go out into the world and proclaim that good news. We've been sent. The thing is, you and I have to go. Okay? Go into all the world and make disciples. God, you know, that's the thing. He sent us. He said, go. Now, if we're not moving, that's not God's fault. As with the original disciples, He would want us to know a few things too, as we've looked at this through Matthew chapter 10, that our Savior has warned us that we're going to be sheep. We are sheep, and we're sent in amongst wolves. Wolves and sheep don't usually get along, not until the millennial kingdom comes. But right now, a wolf would devour a sheep. So God is sending you into a world that really wants to devour you, destroy you, kill you. But that doesn't give you an excuse not to go. Not that we're not to be afraid of men, but be afraid of the very God. Fear God who can put both soul and man in the grave. Or He could condemn the spirit and put the body in the grave. He tells His disciples that we would be brought before governors and kings and Gentiles for His sake. And that we were going to be hated. How many know that Christians are hated in this world? If you're going to try to be a friend of the world, it's not going to work. The only way you can be a friend of the world is if you deny Christ. And I hope that's not anyone's heart this morning to do that, or in your heart to do that at all. So becoming His ambassador can cost us even our closest relationships, we've learned about in verse 36. Even our families, it might come at a cost. To follow Christ, let it be known that your families aren't going to always understand the calling God has put on your life. And you might be ridiculed. You might be persecuted, even by your own family. And Sam shared a story this morning, an account of that Muslim girl who died even at the hands of her own family because of her faith in Jesus Christ. That is amazing to me. So now, as we come to the very end of this chapter, we find encouraging words from our Savior. Jesus lets us know something here, that not everyone we go out to preach the good news to is going to reject it. There are going to be people that receive it and believe it. Isn't that good news? All right, that is great, because look at verses 40 to 43 again. He who receives Me and he who receives Me receives the one who sent Me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Now notice, there's two words there that I'd like to point out to you in this passage, and they're repeated over several times here. The word receive in the world, and the word reward. Now that word receive there conveys the idea of kindly receiving or welcoming or providing hospitality to those whom Jesus sends as His ambassadors to the world. That's what that word receive means. Paul gives us an example. If you go to Galatians, go to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Go to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. And when you get there, let's look at verses 13 and 14. And here's what it says. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received Me. Now look what Paul says here. You received Me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So when I came into your home, you didn't receive Me as just Paul. You received Me as a messenger from God. As if the Lord Jesus Himself had sent Me, which He did. That's the way the people in Galatia received Paul. How would you like to be received that way? That's what he's talking about here. When I send out people into the harvest, I'm sending them, and they are ambassadors of mine, and they represent me. They speak for me. Listen to me. Every time we go into someone's home, we are a spokesman for Jesus Christ. Be careful what we say. He sends us to speak for him. Now, it's even more important that we know what he says before we open our two pieces of flesh here. They received him as an ambassador of Christ. And this, now the word reward there is the Greek word that's translated here to mean reward. It shows up three times in these verses. And here's the thing, that Jesus promises great reward. Now just think about that. Let that sink in. God is going to give us great reward for receiving those who come in the name of Jesus. There's a reward for that. Process that for a minute. Having hospitality to treat a brother or sister, a spokesman of Christ, as if they were speaking on Christ's behalf, there's reward for that. So a great part of the work of the kingdom of Jesus Christ occurs on the receiving end of things, not just the giving. Isn't that something? You ever thought about that? He promises that those who rightly receive those that he sends out will be richly, not just rewarded, but richly rewarded. But he's saying something really remarkable here. Don't miss it. As he speaks, look at verse 40. The end of verse 40 right there. It says, and he who receives me receives what? Or him who sent me. He speaks to those he is about to send, and he lets them know that he himself was a sent one. Somebody sent him. And he was sent to this earth by God the Father. He didn't come of his own initiative and his own authority, but he came in his Father's name in accordance with his Father's will. Let me show you some verses on that this morning. Go to John chapter 4, John 4. You may know that Jesus answers to somebody. John chapter 4, verse 33. Look at verse 33. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do, listen to this, the will of him who what? Who sent me. And to finish his work. So the Lord Jesus' will is to do the will of the one who sent him. Somebody sent Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 37. John 6, 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus makes it clear that I'm only doing the will of someone or the Father who sent me to do this. Go back, look at John 5, John 5 verses 29 to 30. John 5. Let me back up to 28. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Wouldn't that, that'd be a great day. I can't wait for that. And they'll come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do what? What can Jesus do by himself? Nothing. By the way, what can you do without Jesus? Nothing. He can do nothing without the Father, and you can do nothing without him. Well, that's true. And he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. You know, there's a trickle-down effect. Jesus does what the Father wants, and you and I do what Jesus wants. Hopefully your kids do what you want. That's a whole nother story. John 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me." Jesus didn't even come up with the words that He was to preach. The Father sent Him and gave Him those words. Now, we understand who Jesus is, but we're not going to go there. I just want you to understand, Jesus is putting Himself under the authority of the Father. John 8:18. Go to John 8, verse 18. "I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." That's pretty powerful. You and I can't say that. Only He can say that of Himself. Jesus does nothing apart from the will of the Father. That's the point here. He doesn't even send out workers except under the Father's authority. He doesn't even save people except under the Father's authority. Jesus does nothing without the Father. Again, you and I can't do anything without Christ. He sends out the workers in His name to proclaim His gospel to the world, and they go out in the authority of the one who sent Jesus. Let me show you another verse, John 17, and go to verse 18. John 17, 18. It says, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." So see how that goes? John 20, 21. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." So who's really the sending agent? The Father. The Father sent Jesus, Jesus sends you. Really, in all reality, it's the Father who's sending even us. He's the one that calls us, He's the one that sends us. Since receiving Jesus in the name is the same as receiving the Father who sent Him, then to receive Jesus sent ones, or the ones He sends out, is the same as receiving the Father. You get that? When we go into a home with the gospel of Jesus Christ, those people are accepting the Word of God, Jesus, and the Father who did all of it. Can't have part of it. If you receive one, you receive the other. Does it make sense? The point is brought out in John chapter 13. Go to John 13 and go to verse 20. John 13, 20. And the word here would tell us, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." There it is. So when we go into someone's home, as a disciple, as a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are going in the name of the Father. He's the one that sent us. You're speaking for God. That is a humbling thought. Because I think of how much jibber-jabber I have around people. Jibber-jabber, what kind of word is that? That means nothing when I'm around people. Worthless talk. Even when I'm talking about the Lord. You know what I mean? It's all that talk about God that maybe doesn't clearly represent Him for who He is. Does that make sense? Boy, we got to be careful how we talk about Him. 1 John, go to 1 John chapter 2. I mean, just watch what you say sometime when someone comes up to you and says this: "Tell me what Jesus is like." Just think about how you would respond to that. And if it lines up with Scripture, does Jesus approve of this? And your response, is it exactly what Jesus would say, even though it might cost us something if we say it? See what I'm saying? First John chapter, where are we? First John chapter 2, verse 23. Look at this. First John 2, 20, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Wow. It's pretty powerful. Now notice what the Savior says back in our text in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. He says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So as I'm looking at that this week, I realize that to receive a prophet in the name of a prophet means to receive a prophet as truly a prophet sent from God with a message from God to his people, with all the authority that comes with being a prophet. In the Old Testament, if a prophet opened his mouth, what did people do? Uh-oh. God is talking to me. See, that's the way it should be even when you're coming here. Now, I'm not exalting myself in any means when I say this. And it's a humbling thing because I realize the fear factor involved in this. Because I better make sure that when I stand behind this piece of wood, everything I say is right. Because I'll be judged for the words that I say and how I represent Christ. But as I talk, or any minister of the gospel, this is the way it should be, our ears should perk up. What is God saying to the person next to me? Or what? What's he saying to me? Why do I come to church? For cake and graduation day? Or am I coming with the intended purpose that this morning, God is going to speak through me? Now he's going to use his word to do that, and he's going to use a broken down vessel to do that, which I am. But he's talking to me. When a man of God or a woman of God would speak the word, listen. Because God might be talking to you. And he might be encouraging you. It's not just always a rebuke, but he might be going, hey, look what you have in me. Rejoice in me. It's a reminder of what God has done. But listen, to receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man means to receive him as a man whom God accepts. Okay, that's what he's talking about. And who reverences God and truly puts God's word into practice into his life. Now, I'm going to listen to one who acts righteously. I'm going to listen to one who speaks for God truthfully because he stays there in the Word of God. But I'm not going to listen to any guy that stands up here and says, let me tell you about Jesus, when they don't know who Jesus is. Okay, you get that part. To receive a disciple in the name of a disciple, even a very humble and seemingly insignificant disciple, is to receive him or her as someone who is greatly loved by the Lord Jesus Christ and is destined to share in his eternal glory. Not just the big speaker out there, but the man or woman who says, can I give you something to drink? A little cup of cold water? That's a messenger of God too. And you need to listen. Now, I don't know exactly what the reward is that Jesus promises here. I don't know what that is. Anybody know what the prophet's reward is? I don't know. Simply that God is giving a reward. I know that he will give it to those who receive his messengers who come with the gospel. There's a reward for that. The great thing about this passage this morning is, to me, is that we will be remembered for the smallest act of service. There's a lot of people in the kingdom of God who don't think they're very important, or you don't have very big impact. God has covered that. You know, There's people I look out in here, and I usually don't look at faces when I'm preaching. I just kind of glance. So you think I'm looking at you, but I'm not. I've told you before, I'm talking. This is my fellowship with God. I lose myself as I'm preaching in what I'm saying. I listen. There's several things going on. I'm preaching this. He's preaching to me. I'm lost in the moment as if I had an audience of one. So don't think I'm talking to you, because I'm not specifically talking to anybody. But I know this. I know people in this church body that think they're really of little value, but they have greater reward than I do. And I could name you, but I won't. It doesn't take much to be richly rewarded by our Savior. Just a willingness to meet the simple needs of His disciples who bring us the Word of God. Jesus, if you go to Mark chapter 12, go to Mark's account. Mark 12. Let's go to verses 41 through 44 right there. Mark 12, 41 to 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. Many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants, which is a half a cent, by the way, or roughly about that. Really destitute woman. So he called his disciples to himself and he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put out of their abundance." Notice what he says there. They put out of their abundance. "But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Now, that's a really good example of Jesus even recognizing the very smallest gift, the smallest act that we can do. Even if you go to Matthew chapter 25, go to Matthew 25, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, because I'm convinced that people are rewarded for the things they don't know they're doing, rather than being rewarded for these big things we think we're doing. Some of the things we do in our life that we think are great things for God, He's going to put a match to them and they'll burn up like a haystack. But the things that the works He's planned for us, those things we don't even know that God is in it, that's where the treasure is. So it says here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you who blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Can you imagine what that's going to be like? "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Look at this. "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?'" And I can even add to this, "Lord, when did I give you a cup of cold water?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to" who? "To me." Every time someone comes into our presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a true believer in Jesus Christ, we ought to treat it as if the Lord was in our presence right there. Every brother and sister in Christ should be treated that way. Because how would you act if you could visually see Jesus Christ next to that person? How would you treat that person with Jesus standing there? Might change a lot of our behavior. Just saying. But be careful. With that, I need to say this. Don't just accept any person that comes to you with the name Jesus. Make sure the name Jesus they are declaring is the same that is proclaimed in Scripture. Because this is something God has warned us about several times through His Word. Acts chapter 20. Go back there to Acts 20. Paul writing to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. Verses 28 through 31, right there. Therefore, take heed of yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. There's my warning. See how God gives me a warning? Or George a warning? Or Mark a warning? Or others who would lead a warning? Sunday school teachers, maybe, even down to that. Take warning. Because God has made you an overseer of that soul. Wow. To shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. Be careful how you handle my church. Look what it says. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Wolves can come not just from the outside, but they can come up from the inside. And it's our job to be on guard with that. That's why I tend to sometimes act more like a sheepdog. I've learned this. Don't trust everybody just because they're talking about Jesus. And our culture is bad about that. All we have to do, you watch sometimes people say, well, I'm a Christian. Oh, great, well, come in. Well, what do you call a Christian? Be careful how you define a Christian. We don't even have that right in our culture anymore. Well, I love Jesus. Well, good, let's have supper together. Wait a minute. What Jesus are you talking about? The Mormon Jesus? Jehovah Witness Jesus? Which one? Are you talking about the Jesus of Scripture? Then I'll have fellowship with you. But see, we don't even have the name Jesus right in our culture. Be careful who you let in at the door. Be careful because that wolf can come from inside or outside. He told Timothy, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy 4. Something Timothy needed to know as a young man who was going to take over the mantle for Paul, preaching in Ephesus. And he says this, 1 Timothy 4, the first three verses. Now the Spirit expressly says. Now, what does that mean? The Spirit expressly says. That means the Spirit is about to say something. You better pay attention. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the truth, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth, for every creature of God is good. Nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And goes on. But notice what he says here. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Be careful who you let in at your door. And we could go through 2 Peter, and you can do this in your own time, and look at what is said about false teachers and what they're like and what the fruit is in their life. But here's the point. Of all of chapter 10, Lord, help us to be faithful to take the gospel into the harvest. Lord, help us to be faithful to receive those who speak on your behalf. And Lord, let us be faithful to discern between those who belong to God and those who don't. Father, thank you for your word. It is powerful, it is mighty, and you are to be praised and exalted. Lord, Lord Jesus, let us be ambassadors for you in a harvest that desperately needs you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right.